Our speaker is here.
Right. So we've been speaking a lot about the various asfakas that there are in Hilchos Chodosh. And we spoke about a number of times, I've used the expression that for some reason or other, Chodosh fell into disuse. In other words, people stopped keeping Chodosh until maybe 50 years ago there was a reawakening, a reawareness. Diane Berkovich and others who reawoke the Inyan of Chodosh. And today, Chodosh is quite well known. I've seen on a number of baked products that have been bought recently, all the Just Baked stuff has got a label on everyone saying new flour, you know, and they've got other labels on other makes in Hebrew and that sort of thing. Chodosh has become an issue now, but it wasn't for many years. And the point I wanted to make today was that it's not, I use the expression till now, it fell into disuse, as if people may, like, didn't bother with it or something like that. It wasn't like that. It was actually a psak halacha. There were rabbonim who paskin that one does not need to keep Chodosh. Listen to the Loshon of the Bach. Yeah, the Bach wrote as follows. We learned last week that there were various Yerushalmis, three sources from the Yerushalmi, which were mashma, the Chodosh is noeg, bizman hazeh, b'chutz la'aretz, even in a field that belongs to a non-Jew. But the what's called wrote as follows. He wrote that... can't find it now. Yes, he wrote as follows. He said, "V'chos ha'bozeh, dvorim choytzvim v'necharotzim." Very, very serious words. He wrote, "De osor l'chol moira hayra'a l'hayras chumra bozeh." He says it's osor for any moira hayra'a to come up with the issa of chodosh in chutz la'aretz neged minhag oilam. V'oroitza l'achmir, and somebody wants to be machmir, said the Bach. That's what he said. In other words, he was saying, this has become a psak halacha. It's not just something that has fallen into disuse that people no longer keep for whatever reason. Right? It's something that has not become just stump. It's a psak halacha. And the Bach said, you want to be machmir for yourself but not for someone else. And we'll speak about why the Bach said that later tomorrow.
Start today the Terraway, Northwest London, Sunday, base Ia, 19th of April. Rabbi Yisrael Fine Shlita, Emeritus Rabbi Kock Foster's and North Southgate Synagogue. The Life and Drush of the Torah Tamima. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Family Sanger, Lichvod, the birth of a baby boy. Lenishmas, our esteemed founder, Yosef Dov, Ben Shemichol, Tzvi Itzkowitz, Zichron Noliv Rochok.
Thank you very much. Hayom Kotsov Amlocha Maruba. I think I blame myself for choosing such a large subject for half an hour, but I want to give a disclaimer. It certainly won't be comprehensive. This could take hours and hours, the life and drush of the God of the Torah Tamima. So let me attempt to give you a flavor of, first of all, a very short biography of his life, and then I want to concentrate on his lesser-known work, the Tosfos Brocha, as opposed to the Torah Tamima. So first of all, the biography. He published the Torah Tamima in 1902, and it was an amazing success. It was one of the most popular sforim in the early 20th century. And in the late Diane Grunfeld, in his magnificent introduction to the translation of Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch into English, it's an amazing introduction, but he identifies there four works which set out to integrate Torah Shebaal Peh with Torah Shebiksav. And of course, this was very necessary at the time that we're talking about. We're talking about the 19th century with the rise of Haskalah and Reform, who attempted really to undermine the divine source of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And he identified four works which are absolutely classical now. First of all, the Ksav HaKabbalah, in order of chronology, Ksav HaKabbalah, the Malbim of Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, and the Torah Tamima. And these four works countered any undermining of the credibility of Torah Shebal Peh as Torah Min HaShemayim. The Baruch HaLevi Epstein's father was, as we know, was Rabbi Chil Michal Epstein, of the Rav of Nevadok, the author of the Aruch HaShulchan. His uncle was the Netziv, the Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin, and it is said that he came from Sephardi origins, and the family came after the expulsion from Spain, and the family name was in fact Benvenisti. And he only adopted the name Epstein because he was given refuge, the family were given refuge in the town of Epstein, and they adopted the name Epstein. He had a photographic memory, and he had smicha from the greatest gedolim of the time, but refused to take a rabbinical position, and he was an accountant and a banker in Pinsk. His Torah Tamimo, as I said, demonstrated the fusion between Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebiksav. As we know, everybody knows, the Torah Tamimo brings all the Mamori Chazal, and he demonstrated how you see that Maimah Chazal from the Pasuk. His lesser-known works on Tefillah, his Baruch She'omer, is a very innovative work, very mechudishdik, and his Tosfos Brocha, which I'm going to talk about a bit more in detail, is his Chidushim al Torah. He wrote a mammoth work of biography, of autobiography, Makor Baruch, which is 2,000 pages. And I bought it recently, and I thought I was going to take it for holiday reading, but I soon disabused myself of that. But it's on that biography that was based this famous the biography, which is called My Uncle the Netziv, which was courted some kind of controversy. We won't go into that. But he was nifta in Pinsk in 1942 after the Nazi invasion. And I tried to find where the caver is. I couldn't find it. I presume it is still in Pinsk. I haven't heard that they found the caver. Perhaps I would hope that the caver is still intact. Anyway, he was very innovative. He was very fearless in what he said. He didn't care. And he explained things which we take as a matter of fact, but he didn't. So just to take something very simple, and it's probably well known, so excuse me if I'm repeating something which you know. The difference in benching between the Pasuk Magdil Yeshuas Malko and Migdol Yeshuas Malko, which we know that in the Siddur Magdil we say in Choyl, and Migdol we say on Shabbos and Yontif. Why? Because the Pasuk is in two places in Tanakh. First of all, it's in Shmuel Beis, chapter 22, Pasuk 51, Migdol Yeshuas Malko v'yosef chesed l'mshicha l'david u'lezaro ad olam. This was the Shira of David after he had relief from his enemies. And with the Pasuk is repeated verbatim in Tehillim, chapter 18, Pasuk 51, the same Pasuk, but there it says Magdil Yeshuas Malko. So I'm not a Baal Dikduk, so I looked in the Metzudas David, and there the Metzudas uses the same word, same translation for each pasuk, whether it's Magdil or Migdol. He says, Oser Yeshuos Gedolos Hamalko. David was saying, a Kodesh Baruch Hu does Yeshuos Gedolos for his king, for himself. So it's the translation is exactly the same in the Metzudas. So therefore, why on Chol do we say Magdil, and why on Shabbos do we say Migdol? Why choose? So Rav Epstein says it's a Torah. It's a Torah Sofrim. Why? Because, he says, the normal version that we have is Magdil on weekday. So the printers, the first printer put in as a reference that if you want to know where it's Migdol, you'll find it in Shmuel Beis. But what he did was Beis Shin Beis, he put in. Beis Shin Beis, which stood for Bishmuel Beis, you will find Migdol. So the next copyist looked at this, he couldn't understand what it was, and he thought that it means Shabbos. So he put in B'Shabbos, you say Migdol. Well, he made sense of something which was rather incongruous. So anyway, the Rav Epstein, Rabbi Halevi Epstein says this is the, and it's perpetuated itself, and now it's Chok Velo Yavor. You have to say Magdil and Week and Migdal. Another similar thing of Torah Sofrim, he says, is the Nusach that we say at the end of Rosh Chodesh Menshing Bischus Tefilas Rabin. This makes absolutely no sense at all. We know that Rosh Chodesh Benching is in Brochus Tes Zayin Omid Beis, and it was the Tefillah of Rav after the Shmoneh Esrei. But we find many other Tefillahs that are incorporated in our liturgy, and there we don't say Bischus Tefillas. Whoever it or the author was. For instance, the Rabbeinu HaKadosh authored Shetat Zilinu Miyazephonim, which we all said this morning after Brochus. Elokai Netzor was Ma Borei D'Ravina. On Yom Kippur we say Elokai At Shelo Netzarti, which was Rava. Do we say there Bischus Tefillas Rava, Bischus Tefillas Ravina? Do we say that? No. So why here? So he says that it's all a mistake. And some people, because they can't make sense of this, they change it because Bischus Tefillas Rav, they say Bischus Tefillas Rabin. He says that doesn't make sense either. He says because there are many tefillas that we say Barabin, and then we don't say Bischus Tefillas Rabin. So he says it's all a mistake, because it were the original copyist or the original printer put at the end of Rosh Chodesh Benching, he said Brochus Tefillas Rav. That's where it comes from. It comes from the Gemara Brochus. And because of that, so the next printer couldn't understand what it was all about. So he put Brochus, instead of Brochus, it says Bischus Tefillas Rav, and that became Bischus Tefillas Rav. I came across something which is actually quite startling, because we know the first Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev, Vayeshev Yaakov Beres Meguri Ovid Beres Kamoan, Rashi famously says, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Vashalvo, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, what's Yaakov doing trying to have an easy life? He says, not satisfied with a peaceful life in Olam Haba. He wants the Olam Hazeh as well. So we know that the Loshon of Vayeshev or the Loshon of Yeshiva not only means sitting as opposed to standing, but v'yishavtem lovetach be'artzachem, it's to do with a dwelling. It's a matter of where you live. As we say, basukas teishvu tishivas yomit, teishvu ke'en toduru. That's nothing to do with sitting or standing, it's to do with living. And so therefore, Rav Epstein says, it's a pella that a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes along and has tainas on Yaakov. That Bikesh Leshev B'Shalvo? Why? He says, we know that one of the haftokas of the Torah is V'shavtem Lovetach B'Artzachem. Right? That it's a haftokha that when you're Oyla Regel, V'shavtem Lovetach B'Artzachem. So yes, so it's a haftokha that you don't have to worry about the enemy, but nevertheless you have Shalvo B'Olam Hazeh. And we have a Gemara in Hurius Yud Amud Beis, which says, Ashreichem Letzadikim, Shemagia Aleihem Kemase Horoshoyim. How lucky the wicked are that they have Olam Hazeh like the Roshoyim, the Olam Hazeh. And Tosfos in Brochus, Hey Amud Beis, says, Lo Kol Odom Zoche LeBeis Shulchanos. Not everybody is Zoche to Shulchanos. In other words, only Tzadikim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu's got Tainus on Yaakov, Ayeshev, Bikesh, Leshev, B'Shalvo. So he brings many other eyes as well. So you know what he says? He says it's a tos. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Omer, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lodayim, Latzadikim, impossible. He said, Chas v'Sholom, that Kodesh Baruch Hu had Tainus on Yaakov. And you know what he says? It should have been Bor Sotan. Sotan came and had Tainus on Yaakov. Kodesh Baruch Hu couldn't forgive him to have Shalva Bo'olam Hazeh, and he's very, very sharp in his Loshon, and he says, Ro'u le'kalel b'nazifa. anybody who repeats this Rashi in this form, that Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should give, put him in Cheirem, and you should publish all the, and you publicize amongst all the publicists, all the printers of the Chumashim, that they've got to change that Rashi, and that it should be Bo Sotom, not Bo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let me tell you something else, which actually I've known for years, and I looked last night desperately to find where it is. I thought it was in the Tosfos Brocha. I can't find it there, and I can't find it in the Torah Tumimah, and I can't find it in the Baruch Sha'omer, but I'm pretty sure that that it is somewhere there, but it's something that I've repeated several times, and I think it's a beautiful idea. We know that there are two brochas midoraisa. One is after food, and one is before Torah. Right, Vilchalta v'savota v'rachto, and before Torah is Kishem Hashem Ekro, Hovu Godel Elokeinu. So I'm pretty sure Rav Epstein asked, why is it that way around? Why did a Kodesh Baruch Hu not require us to say a brocha after Gashmius, and he required us to say a brocha before Ruchnius? Why not the other way around? And what he said was that because the opposite, he said, would come naturally to a person. For a person to say a brocha before Gashmius, he says, it's human instinct. As we know, a person's chalashim for Gashmius. You go to a restaurant, right, and you look at the menu, ugh, it's such a machayim, and the taste buds are already salivating. And, the food comes, it's not always as to expectations. And certainly, after you've eaten the meal and the proprietor comes along and he said, you're such a good customer, I'll give you the same again. You say, I couldn't eat another thing. So in other words, the anticipation of Gashmius is greater than the realization. With Ruchnius, it works just the opposite. If somebody says to you, come to a shir, it's a fantastic shir. You say, this shir, that shir. But you go to the shir, and it's tucker inspiring, it fills your neshama, has an aliyah, and you say, what a mechayim. So in other words, the realization of Ruchnius is greater than the anticipation. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu knows that the anticipation of Gashmius, I don't have to worry that you'll make a bracha when the food arrives. And in terms of the realization of Ruchnius, I don't have to worry that you'll say a bracha afterwards. But in terms of the realization of Gashmius and the anticipation of Ruchnius, he says that's why you have to make a bracha after food, and that's why you have to make a bracha before Torah. Now let's move to something else. We have a Maimon Chazal which says, he brings actually in Parshas Bolok on the Klolos of Bilam, he brings from the Rambam that the Rambam he quotes, this is on Pirkei Avos, but actually the people say they can't find it. But he quotes the Rambam to say, Kabel esoemes mimisho omer. If something is true, it's true. It doesn't matter where it comes from. And and Rav Epstein brings from Sanhedrin, from a base, he says there that the Gemara says you shouldn't read Ben Sira, but there are certain things in Ben Sira which are okay. Mille demal iso. He says, if you can't find nice things, Ben Sira is not something which is authentic, you shouldn't read it, but if something rings true. So he says, the Rambam says, Kabilis Oemis Misha Omro, and he says, I can't understand why there are so many illustrations of this in the Torah. You don't have to look to the Rambam, and you don't have to look to the Gemara in Hurrius. It's self-evident in the Torah. So I want to give you seven quick examples of what he brings that we have virtually, which is incorporated in Jewish life, and in halacha even, where it comes from very dubious sources. The most obvious one is Matovu Alecha Yaakov. We start off in the morning quoting Bilam HaRosha. He says, how come? Then, on Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, one of the ten psukim of Malchus, is lo hibit ovin b'Yaakov, lo roma b'Yisrael, Hashem elokei imo, usruas melech bo, because we're one of the Pesukim of Malchus, and yet that's also one of the Klodos of Bila. Gemara Brochus Yud Beis Amud Beis says that Chazal at one point wanted to incorporate Parshas Bilak in the Shema. Why? Because there's a reference to B'shach B'chov Kumecha. Korah Shochav Ka'aryeh, that it talks about B'shchiva and it talks about Kima. And they wanted, because of that, the allusion to B'shach B'chov Kumecha, they wanted to put it in the Shema. Why didn't it get there? Because of Tircha D'Tzibura. Four parshas are too much. People wouldn't tolerate it. But for Tircha D'Tzibura, we'd have had parshas Bolok of Bilam in the Shema. But for that, in Halacha, he said, we know that one of the Nezikin is Hezek Ria. That if you, for instance, invade somebody's privacy by building something which overlooks their property, there's a Hezek Ria. Where do we find this? Because it says in the Pasuk, Vayaris Yisrael Shochem Lishvotav. He saw Yisrael camped according to their Shvotim. But what was that? The Gemara says that their doors were not mechuvonim zeh mul zeh. They weren't opposite each other. There was this was an indicator of the modesty of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he says, where do we get the source of Hezekiah from? From here. What Bilam saw amongst Klal Yisrael. Then, we have something even more startling. We've just had Chol HaMoed Pesach, right? What better time now to have another simcha, to have a chasana? Why can't you have a chasana in Chol HaMoed Pesach? Because ein marvin simcha b'simcha. How do we know ein marvin b'simcha b'simcha? Because when Suel said, Male Shavua Zos, v'nitna l'cho, it was Lavan, yeah? Male Shavua Zos, v'nitna l'cho, gamez. So he says, we'll finish with Leah, and then you can have Rochel. Ein marvin simcha b'simcha. And that's why we can't have chasanas during Chol HaMoed, all because of Lavan. Furthermore, I'll give you two more examples. Birchas chasanim min haTorah, where is that from? Vayavarachu es Rivka. Before she left home, they gave Rivka a brocha. And the Gemara says that's the source for Birchas chasanim. And finally, at bedecking, as we know, when we bedeck a kala, what brocha do we give her? The brocha of Lavan and Bsulim. Vachoseinu at hayilel al alfei revavav, yirash sarayche sarasonot. Said it thousands of times. And I don't recall. That's the brocha of Lavan and Bsulim. But if kabbalas u'emes mishomra, if it's right, it's right. Elsewhere, I notice that he says there are certain gedorim, however. If it's from Ovdei Avodah Zorah, he says, you know, you shouldn't. Well, I thought Lavan and Bsula were Ode Vodazara, but anyway, we won't go into that. Let me go on to something else. We know that Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael after his struggle with the Malach. Lo Yomer Od Shimcho Yaakov Kim Yisrael Yeshemecho. Why? Ki Soriso Imelokim. Because you struck, you prevailed over the Rabboni Shalom, Kaviyocha. So why? So Yaakov is a name which is reminiscence of his birth, the Yodo Cheses Bar Kevesov. So do we want one of the Ovos to be perpetually known as somebody who was always the underdog, so to speak, the Yodo Cheses Bar Kevesov? So the preferred name is Yisrael. We know that there's a whole discussion why Avram's name to change to Avraham. You don't go back to Avram, but you do go back to Yaakov. That's another question. But anyway, the Tosfos Brocha brings a medrash. On the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei, as we know, every day we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Ve'Elokei Avraham, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So we used Yaakov's name for the Ovos. Why don't we use Elokei Yisrael? That's what he asks. Why not Elokei Yisrael? So it's interesting. He answers with a posip from Tehillim Kuf Chaf Dalet. It's a medrash on Tehillim Kuf Chaf Dalet, when we say, Lulei Hashem Shohayolonu. If it weren't for a Kodesh Baruch Hu standing with us, Yoma No Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael would not be able to say, Bekum Oleinu Odom, if people were to rise up against us, if it wouldn't be Lulei Hashem Shohayolonu. Now, the name for Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei. So he says like this, it's a medrash player. He says, I don't understand what this medrash has got to do with Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So he says like this, that the number of letters in the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, is 13. The number of letters in the Imohos, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valea, is also 13. And combined, of course, is 26. Yud Kei Vav Kei. So he says, now if you look back in this posuk, you see it written there, that the only way that you could get the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the gematria of 26, is if you use the Shem Yaakov. If you use the Shem Yisrael, you won't get to 26, you'll have 27. So he says, Lulei Hashem Shehoyalon. If it weren't for Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yoma No Yisrael, and you were to say Yisrael, he says it wouldn't work. So he says, so that's how he unravels the Medrash Pliya. Okay, so now let me go to a final idea in Parshas Bechukosai, where one of the klolos for Klal Yisrael, in the Tochacha, is v'shomam lo aleho oivechem ha-yoshvim bo. Chas v'sholom, when we have Golos from Eretz Yisrael, that one of the klolos is that we will leave Eretz Yisrael, and we will leave it to the Goyim, and v'sholom u'alehu, and they will desolate it. So Rashi says, Zu basura toiva. This is not part of the klolos, really. It's Nechama to Klal Yisrael, that you leave into Golos, and you're wondering what's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael, and you'll find out, there'll be reports to tell you, you know, they'll have no nachas from Eretz Yisrael. And as we know throughout history, remarkably, that's exactly what's happened. They've never had any nachas. When we came back after the war to Eretz Yisrael, what did we find? It was a churban. This wonderful image that they have of, you know, that the Palestinian state was thriving and so on. It was a churban. They couldn't do anything with it. So that's a besura tova. This is a realization of this nevuah. So Rashi says, as I said, Besura Tova Yisrael, Ushalo Yimtzu Ha'ovim Nachas Ruach Be'artom. They'll have no nachas from what they've done to you. They'll have no nachas. So the Tosfos Bracha asks, you know, put yourself in the mind of Klal Yisrael as a goyim going to Golos. You know, with all that's happened to them in the past, and all the apprehension of the future, you think that that's going to exercise their minds, you know, what's happening to Eretz Yisrael? They're consoling each other for all the Yisurim that they've had in leaving Eretz Yisrael. They've got no idea what's in front of them, and that's going to exercise their minds, that they were worried about. Don't worry that they'll have no nachas from what you've left behind. He says that for them, that's the least of their problems. That's going to be at the bottom of their list of concerns. What's the difference if they're in Golos? So he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, which says, "Ba'avon avodah zorah va'aroyos," that as a punishment for Klal Yisrael worshipping avodah zorah and indulging in aroyos, Golos bola olam, they will have Golos. Megalim osam, they will be exiled. Uboim achirim v'yoshmi b'mekoma. And you know what? In addition to the golos, another punishment is that other people will come, the yoshmi b'mekoma, They will live in your land and they will develop your land. This is a Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Gimel. So the question is, so what he says is like this, that we only know our own galus. What you know? Why does the Gemara say Uboim Achin Yoshmi Mukomon? As I said before, is that exercising their minds? So he says like this: as long as Goyim don't capitalize on what we've left in Eretz Yisrael, Ribbono Shel Olam's work is fairly simple, and our agenda is fairly simple. How do we get to Shavu Bonim Libhulam? How do we get back to Eretz Yisrael? Very simple procedure. If Klal Yisrael step up to the mark and they do their work and they realize and they do teshuva, it's a simple procedure for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He'll get you back. If on the other hand he has to turf out the goyim from Eretz Yisrael, no matter how undeserving they are, but there's always mitigating circumstances. There may be reasons why the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed them to be there. They may even have certain suchusim which allows them to be there. And therefore he says that if they've settled in the land, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to displace other people. And therefore they have to Besura Tova to Klal Yisrael is that when you go into Golos, he says, the Nechama is Shelo Yimtzu Ha'ovim Nachas Ruach Be'artzon. Ribbono Shel Olam's work is straightforward. All you have to do is teshuva, to get back. He says, and you don't have to worry that maybe the goyim have some sechusim and the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to turf them out and they may not be worthy of it. It's a straightforward procedure. And the pathway back is teshuva gemura, and that's why he says, uboim acherim v'yoshvim v'mkomo. If other people are there, it complicates, it muddies the water, so to speak. And that's why Zu Basura Tova, that's why it's a Basura Tova for you, that you should know what your task is, what's on the agenda, Teshuva, Gemura, Mitnechatuinu, Golinu, Mitnechatuinu, and you'll get back, and you don't have to worry about anybody, anything muddying the waters. Okay, thank you.